spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply. It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back. It's the new week in November 2012, and we've got great shows planned all week. We're going to hit a home run right out of the park starting on Monday. We get right to work here. There's none of this Monday blah stuff. We're going to be attacking two important subjects. During my first hour, we will be talking to Professor Mayank Mehta from UCLA about how the brain actually acts like it's remembering things during sleep and why this is so important. And then later in the show, Professor Martha Baluri will come on and talk about the relationship between omega-6 fatty acids, obviously their effect on oxidative stress, but more importantly, their effects on the immune system and the brain, both in behavior and function. So we're going to be kind of in theme today with both shows. I like doing things like that. It makes it feel like we're really organized here. But I have to thank, for all of the shows, my assistant, Ginny Robards, because she makes me look smart. She picks really good subjects for us to do interviews about, and she's a great help. I appreciate her. Okay. Two things, real fast. We are officially nominated in the podcast awards for 2012 in the segment of health and fitness, and there are some real good competitors there. You can vote every single day for Superhuman Radio, once a day. I'm asking you, please, elevate. I just want to be in the top three. That's all I want to be. Elevate us up there. Vote every day. Go to podcastawards.com. Vote for Superhuman Radio for your favorite show in the health and fitness segment. And who knows, maybe we'll have to fly to Las Vegas to get an award. That would be cool. And of course, AgeForce has their Power Patch Extreme, which is their growth hormone patch. It actually has 25 milligrams of real somatropin in the patch. And they have doubled the size of the monthly shipment when you sign up now for Power Patch Extreme. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Power Patch banner ad to learn more. Okay, let's get right to this now. Enough work being done. We're going to be talking now with Professor Mayank Mehta. How you doing, Professor Mehta?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. And this is really interesting. We've talked a lot about sleep, sleep hygiene, sleep function, and everything ad infinitum on the show over the course of the past 8 years. And this is really exciting information. And I read this and I thought, wow, this is really cool because this adds to the notion that sleep is really, really important. It's not optional. So let's talk about, good, I'm sorry.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's go ahead and talk about this study. How was the study designed, first of all?
Yeah, so this is building on a research done by lots of scientists over several decades. And that research told us a lot of interesting things and put out some real deep mysteries. So let me first tell you what were the mysteries, why we did any of this at all.
Okay.
So the mystery is this. When we are sleeping, our brain is still active. Why? It can be stated simply as like this simple statement. Why is our brain active even when we are sleeping? Now, you could say, well, you know, your heart has to go on, your guts have to do their work, your breathing has to go on. But the nuclei, the parts of the brain that govern those activities, they are very small parts of the brain.
Right.
Even your part of the brain that's responsible for seeing, part of a brain that's responsible for learning, for memory, all of them are going gangbusters during sleep. Now, you have no memory, you have no perception of seeing anything, but still your visual brain is active. And in fact, if you measure the total amount of activity of the visual brain during sleep, it's maybe 20% less than when you are seeing this really awesome movie and you are totally plugged in. So what is that? Why is the brain so active during sleep, even when you're not using cognitively any of that activity? Could it have any function?
Right.
Now, this has puzzled scientists for a long time. And many, many hypotheses have been provided for at least 50 years now. One idea that has been running around for quite some time is that perhaps during sleep, when the brain is not perceiving the outside world, it's kind of reorganizing memories. Whatever it learned during the daytime was kind of like a scratch pad. You got to learn everything online in real time.
Right.
And like a classroom, you know, where you don't, if you don't remember something or you don't hear something, you can ask again. That's not true in real life. If you're walking on the road and there's a car coming by, you have to act on the fly. You can't ask the car to say, hey, slow down, tell me which way are you going.
Right.
You can't do that. So our brain has to juggle these two different things during behavior. It has to learn and act instantly. Even if we are not sure what's going on, we need to act. If you don't act, that's an action too. So at the same time, that action requires some decisions, some memory. We have to recall, where is there a car? Is it going too fast? Is it going too slow? Then we need to also learn from it. And some amount of learning while we are acting goes on during behavior. But the best kind of learning, at least as we see from cognitively, is when you have all the information together, there is no stress of dealing with action right now, making decisions right now. That's when you can reorganize these memories. And the idea is that maybe during sleep, the reason brain is spending so much energy in being active is to reorganize memories. And it's not a small amount of energy. For example, brain consumes about one third of all the energy consumed by our body.
Right.
So it's a lot
of
energy.
And what portion of that, one third, which is a very respectable amount of energy demand for something relatively small compared to some other systems in the body, what percentage of that one third occurs at night when we sleep?
Oh, it's pretty much the same, you see. That's the amazing thing.
Really?
So we spend a third of our lives sleeping. If you measure the total metabolism rate or amount of energy consumed during sleep, it's by neurons activity. It's difficult to quantify, but it's about 20% less. That's about that. So now the question is, one third of our life, which means an enormous fraction of our energy that we are, you know, consuming, is spent in just cooking the brain along during sleep. Why is that? That's a mystery. Why would the body has a way to, you know, turn down your muscles. You lose muscle tone. That's why your hands are limp and so on. So brain, why doesn't our system also shut down the brain and conserve energy, just like it's shutting down our eyes, shutting down our muscles? Why does it do that? It's not just to keep our skull warm. I don't think that's the use.
No.
But that's a mystery.
It's long been understood that memory consolidation occurs during sleep, a very important part of the memory function, because in memory consolidation, we are transcribing data, we're cataloging it, associating it, and also even compartmentalizing it. We're putting it in specific areas of the brain. So that has always been thought to be the consumption and function of memory at night. Has it not? Has that been well established?
Yes, that's right. Very good point. Very good point. So the deal is this. As long as the memory is a very complicated thing, so let's split up memory into two things. Memory that you and I understand. I said something and I ask you to repeat it half a minute later or tomorrow. That is your behavioral memory. You're exhibiting certain behavior that shows a sign of some memory. Now, there's the other thing, and that's established, first of all, that if you mess with somebody's sleep, well, the memory next day is messed up. We all know that. If there is a jet lag, if we didn't have enough night's sleep, next day our memory is not good, but lots of other things are also not good. That's the behavioral memory. Now, the question is, what goes on in the brain during sleep? Mm. In particular, what happens to that memory trace during sleep? So that's where the magic starts to become really strange.
Okay, and
so
that's
what I mean.
I want to save that magic in good radio fashion. When we come out of the break, Professor.
Yeah.
Okay?
So very good.
Right now we're talking with Professor Mayank Mehta from UCLA Division of Neuroscience. This is a really interesting discussion because the more we understand about sleep, the better we can do staying healthy as well as living longer. That biological clock has a rhythm, and when you ignore it too long, you die sooner. So let's talk about this when we come out of the break. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back with more.
Before in the history of muscle gauge nutrition had they ever been so generous, and this is only available to the Superhuman Nation. Now get 25% off any order when you use the coupon SUPER. Save on sports performance supplements like creatine, BCAAs, Huge Impact, and their flagship product, Whey Isolate. Save 25% off weight loss products like Trim Down Advance or Gauge Lean MRP, or check out their line of multivitamins formulated for men and women. Whatever you want, Muscle Gauge has it. Go to MGNstore.com. And use the coupon code SUPER today.
I have never endorsed a training guide before The Blueprint by Rob Regish. The Blueprint combines the best techniques for building muscle and gaining strength with the best tips on supplementation and nutrition. Everyone who has used The Blueprint has surpassed their expectations in muscular gains in record time. You'll learn how to break through any plateau, how to make gains from every single workout, and all for the price of a single supplement purchase. Get your copy of The Blueprint today by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Blueprint banner ad. Order today and get copies of both the Blueprint 2.0 and 3.0, plus ongoing support on the Blueprint Forum to ensure your success.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. WiseChoiceMedicine.net. CanSee Eye Drops. The name says it all.
You train hard. You push the limits of your body every day, and sometimes pain pushes back. Now silence your pain with Phoenix Kinetocream. Kinetocream is made using a perfect blend of natural ingredients and reduces inflammation and shuts down pain with its very first use. Listen to what one user said about Phoenix Kinetocream.
Training made me ache. My back, my shoulders, even my elbows. I rub Kinetic Cream on my shoulders, and in minutes, I could feel the pain go away. Not covered up by that freezing feeling like other creams. The pain was gone.
You can learn more about Kinetic Cream by visiting PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Don't let pain slow you down. Rise above the ashes with Phoenix Kinetic Cream. That's PhoenixBioPerformance.com.
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest protein bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
The cornerstone of longevity medicine is preserving or improving telomere length by increasing telomerase. Telomeres are the repair kit for your DNA. Maintaining DNA integrity is an important factor in staying young and disease-free. If you're like me, a telomerase activator isn't optional, it's a necessity. The only clinically proven telomerase activator in the world is TA65. That's why I take TA65 every day, and you should too. You can learn more about TA65 by visiting TASciences.com. That's TASciences.com.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
You know what it is, when we do what we do.
Welcome back. We're talking about brain behavior at night when we sleep. What is it up to? It has a life of its own. We need to find out what it's doing. It may be more fun than what we're doing during the day, and we can just join it. Why not? We're talking with Professor Mayank Mehta from UCLA. Now, you are, I misspoke before. You are with the Division of Neurophysics, is that correct?
That's right. I'm a professor of neurophysics, which is a discipline that spans the two different regimes. One is physics and other is neurobiology.
I know.
Neurology.
I know. That's pretty exciting because physicists, they like They like hard and fast facts. They like things that are universally true. They like to meter things. They want to measure things. And this whole fuzzy science about what happens at sleep, it's always been touchy-feely, kind of, well, we think hormonally. So you guys actually are measuring things that are going on in the brain.
Exactly, exactly. So the key challenge is, as we were speaking before, is what happens to that memory process in the brain at the level of single neurons.
Okay.
Now, we know there are neurons in the brain, and there are 100 billion neurons in our brain, and there are 100 trillion connections between those neurons. And the memory is in those teeny tiny 100 trillion connections. Now, that's a tough challenge. First of all, the challenge is how do you even measure it? And second, how do you even imagine it? Because memory that you and I feel is something that you just spoke. You just said, you know, 2 minutes ago we were talking about what happens during sleep, and you mentioned something in those words.
And that's stored in, what part of the brain is that stored in?
Oh, across many parts.
Okay, so it's not. Isn't there a term, the new brain and old brain, because the new brain is more working memory, things it needs up front, and the old brain is like the archives, right?
Something like that. Exactly. So what the idea is supposed to be that there are, roughly speaking, two parts of the brain that have to talk to each other in order for us to learn facts and events like what's going on right now.
Okay.
One part is the new brain, which is called the neocortex. It came later during evolution, so it's called the new brain. And other parts, other several parts to it, but let's just call it other part, is the old brain or the archicortex or the hippocampus, came way early during evolution. And the idea that has been going on for quite some time is this, that the new brain or the neocortex perceives things from the world. Whatever is going on outside in the world, it translates immediately that into the brain's language, which is in its own fundamental and fascinating subject as to what is that language that the brain uses to talk to other parts of the brain.
Mm-hmm.
You and I are using English. What is the language of the brain? It's not English, actually, turns out. And our research is actually a part of that big puzzle. What is that language? So we can say, here's the new brain that takes in information, whatever it is happening outside, and sends that information to the old brain or hippocampus during behavior. And hippocampus, or the old brain, is supposed to learn whatever is happening on the fly very, very fast, every single thing that's going on, no questions asked, more or less. And then when you go to sleep, the old brain or the hippocampus is all the information that came in during the day. During sleep, then, this new brain and the old brain are supposed to talk to each other, sort out all the new things that the hippocampus learned in view of everything that was known in the previous, all the part of our life, and then generate useful new memories. Now, that's a really interesting and complicated prospect, because in terms of memory that you and I can think about, you have to, first of all, integrate these new memories into old memories. Second, you have to figure out what happened today that was important that you should remember. Within that, what was good, what was bad, what you should not do that you did today, what you should do that you did today which was good, and a large portion of stuff that happened today that was just kind of blah, was not important, which you should not repeat the next day because it costs energy. So that's at the level of the memory you and I can understand.
Right.
The puzzle where we got in is that what is that? That's the memory you and I talk about, but brain actually has no sensations. If somebody's brain was open, let's say during surgery, if they were undergoing surgery and you touch the brain, there is no sensation of touch in the brain.
Mm.
If you poke the brain with a tiny needle, there is no sensation of even a poke. Brain has no sensation. Brain senses the things coming in from the rest of the body, but itself doesn't feel anything. So off the bat, you know, brain has a totally different language than the language of your body. You touch something, you feel it. Touch the brain, you don't feel it. Instead, you have some sensations. Turns out that language is what is where the memory is. So the idea is that the memory is stored between the connections between neurons, in those connections, very tiny. 100 trillion of them within our brain. So you can imagine how many they are.
Right.
And those connections are supposed to change based on the activity patterns of neurons. And the neurons are not like us, civilized people that you and I are, or all of us are, where one of us talks, the rest listen, and then when one of somebody else talks, the rest of us listen. No, in the brain it's chaos.
Yeah, they're bidirectional as opposed to half duplex.
That's one part of it. It's worse than that. Out of these 100 billion neurons, at any given moment, about 1 billion neurons are active all at the same time. Imagine that.
Yeah.
Now, they're all talking. Not only that, not everybody is listening to everybody else. It's impossible. When we talk in person, maybe one person can have a conversation in a room with 5, 10, 20 people. Each neuron is listening to 10,000 other neurons.
But now, are they sampling, or are they just is everything just going from one neuron to another, like just some flow?
That's right. So it's not just one neuron to another neuron. Each neuron listens to 10,000 neurons,
wow.
And whenever it has something to say, it broadcasts to 10,000 other neurons. So it's by far not a simple flow of information.
Okay. Okay.
It is some strange combination of putting things together, doing something to it, and broadcasting it to a whole lot of people.
Okay. Let's go back to this for a second. The new brain and the old brain, just for the sake of better understanding. Is the new brain responsible for working memory, short-term things like kind of flash drive type stuff, and the old brain is responsible for more archive type things, creating these memories, learning, and so on?
Yeah, so that gets really interesting. So the idea, if we were to say, it's not so simple. The idea is that the new brain, this is again an enormous simplification.
Yes.
The new brain is simply supposed to represent the events that are going on outside,
right,
with no value attached to it.
Right.
The old brain is supposed to learn everything during behavior as is, without questioning.
So clearly there is a relationship, a dependency almost, between the new brain and the old brain for both memory consolidation and also fast access to working memory, and all this working together, because obviously,
exactly,
like all data, it has to constantly be updated with the event that's happening now, that's now adding to the memory, that's contributing more to the learning process. So it's this dynamic change, and it has to be they have to be talking to each other.
Exactly.
But you found out that that wasn't the case during sleep, right?
That's right. So here
so
is
that,
that
so that whole, that's amazing. I mean, that throws everything out the window. Okay.
Exactly. In fact, we found that this dialogue that we were thinking, this is the new brain and the old brain talking to each other, was only a part of the story. Now, here is that new thing. Turns out that the new brain and the old brain, they don't talk to each other directly. They do, but that's a small part of the dialogue. Turns out, during evolution, a third part of the brain came along, which is called the entorhinal cortex. Now, literally, first in the evolution was the hippocampus, then later on entorhinal cortex, and then the neocortex. Turns out the entorhinal cortex, kind of the Paleolithic brain, acts as a gatekeeper. Most of the information that goes from neocortex to hippocampus goes through the entorhinal cortex and vice versa. So it's literally a gatekeeper, decides what goes from neocortex to the hippocampus and back from hippocampus to neocortex.
So imagine if this area of the brain that you referred to as the paleo brain, for simple people like me, I'm not going to be able to say entorhinal cortex. This actually is sort of a purposeful bias system, because it doesn't want to just load the brain up with useless data, so it has to, on the fly, in millions of milliseconds, decide what is relevant and what is not, and that changes with every human being as we grow. What's important to us changes. So
absolutely,
that's amazing.
Yeah, and actually, it turns out the mystery gets even deeper. Alzheimer's disease, which hits so many of us as we grow older. Alzheimer's disease first hits entorhinal cortex, or the paleo brain. that's where it hits.
See, and that's what I was thinking. If something goes wrong with that area, you have no new memories and you have no access to working memory because the two areas can't talk to each other.
Exactly. So that was known, has been known through amazing amount of research, that this part of the brain is crucial. We also know that this part of the brain, the paleo brain, does very interesting things during behavior. And right now there is no time to talk about it.
Right.
So let's just come back to that story I was telling you. So what goes on during sleep? Now we have to keep in mind the story just got really complicated. Now there are three people talking to each other, one of them acting as a gatekeeper. So let's simplify the whole thing. Instead of looking at single neurons and so on, let's look at the whole neocortex. What happens in neocortex during sleep? Well, when we are sleeping, neocortex is active as we agreed. But is it active in some random way because there is no stimulus? So is there some pattern to it? Turns out there is a pattern. When we are sleeping, majority of our time during sleep is spent in the sleep called non-dream sleep. We dream only for a small fraction of sleep. The rest of the sleep, we are not dreaming. During that time, whole of your neocortical activity becomes rhythmic. You have no perception of a rhythm, but whole of a neocortical activity becomes very rhythmic, and the rhythm is about 1 times a second. It's a rhythm we can perceive. 1, 2, 3. That's the rhythm. Whole of a neocortical activity simultaneously, like the waves of the ocean, goes up and down and up and down. And because of this synchronous activation of the whole of a neocortex, this is called the up and down state. Your whole of neocortex in the up and down state. Now, what does the old brain do? Because what you want is, according to the classic idea, the old brain to transfer memory to the new brain.
Right.
So the simple idea will be way to transfer memory is that the old brain drives the new brain.
So you would think that there would be some sort of synchronization between this wave pattern between the two.
Exactly. Synchronization, and even more, you should see that the old brain should wake up first and then it should kick the new brain every second.
Yeah.
Something like that.
I find it astonishing. I find it astonishing that it's a 60 cycle, rhythm, that it's once a second. That's unbelievable.
And that rhythm is the same rhythm whether you look at the tiny, tiny brain of a mouse or the brain of human.
Wow.
Pretty much the same. Even though the brain size changes by 100-fold.
That's so cool.
So something fascinating is going on, that this rhythm is constant. And that's the most common thing your brain does. 8 hours a day.
Okay.
It just goes into that rhythm. Now, what does the old brain do? Turns out, that's where we got into this whole topic several years ago. Old brain does not drive the new brain during this, but in fact, if you look carefully, the old brain does something completely random. In fact, the technical term used is the old brain does something called large irregular activity. The term describes it perfectly. The old brain is active in sleep as much as the new brain is active. But instead of showing the same rhythm as the new brain, and instead of driving that rhythm, the old brain shows random activity, irregular. Now the question is, what happened? How can it be that these two are supposed to talk to each other? They're supposed to transfer memories from one part to another, organize memories. But even at a gross level, there doesn't seem to be any hint of the two of them doing something similar. They're doing very different thing. So the question becomes even deeper. Why? What happened? They are connected to each other. The whole new brain is showing this 1 hertz rhythm. Why is the old brain not following it? We thought maybe, is it possible that the answer may lie in that gatekeeper, the paleo brain? Is it that the paleo brain is simply sending information
right.
back and forth?
Asking
or is
and
it
demanding.
Doing something
right.
to the dialogue?
Right.
And turned out, very remarkable thing happened. The paleo brain does not simply transfer whatever is coming from neocortex to the old brain, but it adds something of its own. So here is how it goes. So this is complicated, so let's go through it somewhat slowly. The neocortex becomes active for about half a second during the sleep and then becomes inactive for half a second. So it's a rhythm, half a second active, half a second inactive, so on and so forth, constantly going on 60 times a minute. If you look very closely with these sophisticated tools that we developed, and again the credit goes entirely to this wonderful people on my team, Dr. Thomas Hahn and Dr. James McFarlane, they did this amazing experiment, an amazing mathematical analysis that showed that actually when the neocortex becomes active for half a second and then it shuts down, this paleo brain does not shut down. It wakes up when the neocortex wakes up for half a second, but when neocortex goes to sleep, the paleo brain behaves as if the neocortex is still awake. Now, how long does it do that? Turns out it does that in a stochastic fashion. Sometimes this paleo brain remains alert for about half a second, sometimes for 1 second, sometimes for 10 seconds, sometimes up to 100 seconds. While the neocortex is becoming, waking up, going to sleep, waking up, going to sleep, so quickly. We call it micronaps.
Professor Mehta, doesn't that seem like an organized fashion for intaking data, making decisions about it, then passing that data along? You would have to have control on the in what's coming in. That would have to be slower,
exactly,
so you could sort things. This is really intriguing. Is it that simplified, or am I oversimplifying it? We have to take a break, but am I onto something when I say that?
You're onto something.
Okay.
And the answer is that actually it's not just modifying it, it's modifying it in a really fascinating way, as if it is remembering like what you're remembering when we are talking. So we can talk about it
then
after the break.
Let's do that. Thank you so much. We're talking with Professor Mayank Mehta from UCLA. This is really intriguing stuff. What your brain is doing when you're sleeping. It's busy. No wonder why you wake up tired. We'll be right back.
The most popular H-Force patch just got better. The Power Patch is the only transdermal patch with 25 milligrams of real growth hormone is now the Power Patch Extreme. Now, when you buy your month's supply of the Power Patch, you'll receive double the patches. That's right, you get 100% more patches. Existing Power Patch user can upgrade to Power Patch Extreme as well. Just go to superhumanradio.com and click the Power Patch Extreme banner ad today. And don't wait too long. This is a limited time offer and will end
soon. Synthogen is unlike any supplement to come before it, both in form and function. Synthogen is the world's first messenger RNA translation accelerator. Messenger RNA is the rate-limiting step in growing new muscle. Synthogen rapidly stimulates protein synthesis on demand, day or night. Synthogen allows you to train harder, longer, stronger, and more frequently than your competition. Synthogen is the absolute fastest drug-free recovery agent available. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Synthogen banner ad to learn more. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan 2, Mechano Growth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies.
People who are looking for performance and health benefits turn to WayNaturalUSA.com. WayNaturalUSA produces the only whey protein from Amish grass-fed cows raised right here in the USA. You cannot get the same quality whey protein anywhere else, period. WayNaturalUSA is cold-processed through the patented Chill-Rite process, so all of the undenatured fractions of whey stay intact. There's only three ingredients in WayNaturalUSA: grass-fed whey protein concentrate, organic flavor, and stevia. Nothing else. Go to WayNaturalUSA.com today and find out what you've been missing. WHEYNaturalUSA.com.
If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre-, intra-, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement,
carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today.
Iron Mag Labs is the leading supplement company offering the most hardcore pro-anabolic supplements. Visit IronMagLabs.com and check out our top-selling products. Asta RX, Halo Extreme, Sinustain RX, E-Control RX, Decadrol Max, Ultramale RX. Iron Mag Labs makes supplements that actually work. No hype, no BS, just real results. There's a reason you keep hearing about Iron Mag Labs. Come see what you're missing. Visit Iron Mag Labs at IronMagLabs.com for the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
PodcastAwards.com, PodcastAwards.com. Vote for us in the health and fitness section. You can vote every single day. I am. We're talking this hour with Professor Mayank Mehta from UCLA. So, okay, getting back to this exciting thing here. So what's going on in the brain at night when it sleeps is it acts like it's remembering things, huh?
That's right. This paleo brain, what it does is that it wakes up when the neocortex sends information to it, the new brain sends information to it, it responds to it, but then it behaves as if it's remembering something and remains active even when the input is gone. Now, this kind of activity is called persistent activity. You activate some neuron, you take away the input, neuron remains active. That's what these paleo neurons are doing.
Wow.
They remain active even when the inputs are gone. And through lots of research done by scientists over the last two or three decades, we know that whenever neurons, the way neurons represent memory, so-called working memory, which is going on right now, as I'm speaking, you're taking in those sounds, turning them into words, putting words into sentences, extracting the meaning. You have to do all this on the fly. That kind of activity of remembering a bunch of things for a short period and then forgetting them, that's called working memory. We need it constantly for doing anything. That kind of working memory appears in a couple of parts of the brain related to this paleo brain and so on. When we are paying attention, if you don't pay attention, that kind of persistent activity is gone. The remarkable surprise is that this is occurring in sleep, and not just sometime, pretty much throughout the sleep. So that completely changes the story. Now, you could say, well, the paleo brain did it, and of course we need to do a lot of research. Why is the paleo brain generating this kind of activity as if it's remembering something throughout the sleep? What are the mechanism? What exactly is it learning, or what exactly is it remembering? And how does it get messed up during disease? Because we know several really nasty diseases hit the paleo brain, including the Alzheimer's disease. So really figuring this out will be a big deal.
Okay.
But the first question we asked is, does anybody care?
Yes.
Does anybody
do
in the rest of the brain care that these neurons are behaving as if they are remembering something because the brain is a big place? Turns out the brain does care. And who cares the most? Not surprisingly, it is the old brain. Turns out that this paleo brain, which is driving the old brain, the old brain becomes most active whenever this paleo brain behaves as if it's remembering something. And in contrast, whenever the new brain is active, the old brain actually says, I don't care, kind of shuts down or becomes less active. So this starts to reveal that puzzle that we talked about. Why is it that the old brain is behaving as if it doesn't care? It doesn't care because it actually cares for the paleo brain.
Right.
And it cares particularly for the time when the paleo brain is really active. That's when the old brain really wakes up and says, hey, something interesting came in. Let me really pay attention and become active.
So the paleo brain acts, gives credibility to the data that needs to be stored. If it comes from the new brain, the old brain goes, oh, you want everything is exciting to you. Leave me alone. Let the paleo brain determine what I need to store and what I don't need to store. So the paleo brain is kind of a, like you said before, it's a memory gatekeeper.
That's right. And that gatekeeper is such that it is not just letting, that's what we used to think, that paleo brain is just a gatekeeper. It simply lets something in or not in to the old brain or vice versa. It turns out it is not just a gatekeeper. It's adding a lot of things to the whole dialogue itself. The gatekeeper is a mind of his own.
Wow.
Starts to add all kinds of information to the dialogue.
Is it possible, Professor Mehta, that this is where perception and the effects of perceiving something occur? Does the raw data then become somehow slightly modified and then sent in for storage? Like the paleo brain says, no, we don't want to remember it that way. We want to remember it this way. So it kind of perceives things.
We don't know that. Perception, what exactly is perception? What is exactly the content of this paleo brain? We don't know.
Right.
Because you see, that's another puzzle that we briefly touched upon earlier, is that one thing is what you and I remember. Other thing is what actually the brain remembers.
Right.
That memory trace. Memory is what you and I have, and the way that memory works is by what is written in the brain, called the memory trace. That memory trace is the really difficult question, because it is not just the entire neocortex or the entire paleo brain or the old brain. It is that specific individual neurons, 100 billion of them in individual connections.
We have to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk more about there's something that I want to ask you about the paleo brain itself. We're talking with Professor Mayank Mehta from UCLA. And this is really intriguing stuff. Just the fact that this is referred to as the paleo brain is I have more questions. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for, and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
You train hard. You push the limits of your body every day, and sometimes pain pushes back. Now silence your pain with Phoenix Kinetocream. Kinetocream is made using a perfect blend of natural ingredients and reduces inflammation and shuts down pain with its very first use. Listen to what one user said about Phoenix Kinetocream.
Training made me ache. My back, my shoulders, even my elbows. I rub Kinetic Cream on my shoulders, and in minutes, I could feel the pain go away. Not covered up by that freezing feeling like other creams. The pain was gone.
You can learn more about Kinetic Cream by visiting PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Don't let pain slow you down. Rise above the ashes with Phoenix Kinetic Cream. That's PhoenixBioPerformance.com.
For the first time ever, Need to Build Muscle has introduced a fat burner that is so sophisticated, you'll realize why it took them so long to bring one to market. IntuBurn is here. Through multiple pathways and agents, IntuBurn increases thermogenesis, turns on brown adipose tissue to consume even more energy, modulates blood sugar, while insulin-mimicking agents keep insulin from spiking, stimulates beta-adrenergic activity. Heck, even the coating on the tablet contains cinnamaldehyde, a potent appetite suppressant and insulin regulator. While other fat burners focus on one or two of these pathways, IntuBurn does it all. Go to NeedToBuildMuscle.com today and start shedding fat now.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
People who are looking for performance and health benefits turn to WhayNaturalUSA.com. WhayNaturalUSA produces the only whey protein from Amish grass-fed cows raised right here in the USA. You cannot get the same quality whey protein anywhere else, period. WhayNaturalUSA is cold-processed through the patented Chill-Rite process, so all of the undenatured fractions of whey stay intact. There's only three ingredients in WhayNaturalUSA: grass-fed whey protein concentrate, organic flavor, and stevia. Nothing else. Go to WhayNaturalUSA.com today and find out what you've been missing. WHEYNaturalUSA.com.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Later, we'll be talking with Martha Bullery. And she is with Ohio State University. We're going to be talking about more information. Got to talk about your omega-3s. This plays into this discussion, believe it or not, as well. So that's later in the show. Right now, we're talking with Professor Mayank Mehta from UCLA about what the brain does when it sleeps. It's a busy little beaver. Okay, so the paleo brain, right? You keep referring it to the paleo brain. Does that mean, Professor Mehta, that the paleo brain actually occurred, its development occurred during the paleo-evolutionary phase our being?
Yes, it came later. This was not present in, like, species of animals which were, you know, which were prehistoric. Earlier species of animals didn't have this. This came in terms of evolution later on. And it's also important to keep in mind that going back to that memory trace that we were talking about, it's not necessarily the case that during sleep you need to form new memories. And that's one idea that we have been toying with. Because let's again think about what this, why is this going on? Why is the brain so active? Why are these parts talking to each other? And I want to leave you with two clear and simple ideas.
Okay.
Which are non-trivial. One is that memories are different than memory trace. Memory trace is the pattern of activity of neurons across several billion of neurons. That pattern of activity and the pattern of connections between neurons is what results in one kind of behavioral memory. So when you remember something better, it can be because that memory trace was stronger.
Uh-huh.
Or it could be because some clutter, some unrelated, spurious memories were actually reduced, you see?
Uh-huh.
Imagine a desk full of nothing, and you want to find something on the desk. Well, the best way to find something on a desk that is very clean is to shine a lot of light. You will see that one thing which is sitting there better. That's your memory getting stronger.
But memory trace would be just that one card being shown.
That's right. If that was the case, that memory trace was just one little card, that's all there was there, then making it stronger is the best way to perceive it. What we are thinking is maybe not. Maybe the brain is so full of stuff, especially as we mentioned that while brain has to act in real time, it cannot ask for a repeat. It has to act in real time and then it's gone. So brain has to learn every single thing, however perfectly or imperfectly, in real time. Because if you don't learn it that time, it's gone. As a result, the brain forms, especially the old brain, forms a lot of memories during behavior. Mm-hmm. Some of them perfect, some imperfect, and most of them perhaps irrelevant. So maybe during sleep, brain has one key mechanism by which the brain can make behavioral memory strong is to actually throw away lots of memory traces.
Mm-hmm.
Unclutter the table full of junk. You'll immediately find the stuff that you're looking for if you got rid of junk from the table. Now this plays into PTSD. because PTSD or post-traumatic stress disorder is something where some memories are too strong. Not that they didn't form, they became too strong. And it hits, believe it or not, the old brain and the paleo brain. So is it possible that the memory traces does not necessarily have to be made stronger, but has to be decluttered?
Mm-hmm.
So that possibilities are really more complex than just making memory traces stronger or not. The behavioral traits may become even stronger by very complicated ways where the memory trace getting weaker can make behavioral memory stronger. So that's one key idea.
And that's really the art of what the paleo brain does in its cataloging and acceptance and then encoding and sorting before it sends it to the old brain. It sees this memory and it says, everybody get out of the way. This one has to go straight through. Perhaps.
Or that it comes up with its own version based on previous experience. It adds to it.
So it doesn't even have to encode and decode the message anymore.
No, it's just adding something to the whole dialogue based on lots of previous experience. So that's one thing which is very interesting, that its memory trace is a whole different ballgame than the memory itself. It's related to the memory, but in a very complex way. The other thing which is really important to keep in mind is that all of this has something to do with rhythms. Very strange. We talked about one rhythm that appears in this new brain and the old brain and the paleo brain when we are sleeping, when we are not dreaming.
Right.
Question is, what happens when we are actually behaving, when we are learning? Amazingly, while these parts of the brain are active when you are learning, turns out these parts of the brain also are governed by a whole new set of rhythms.
Really?
The brain changes its rhythm when you're learning.
Is it faster?
And faster, but very, very different set of rhythm. Turns out there is one rhythm which, like this rhythm during sleep, is once a second. There is another rhythm that is about 50 times a second, way faster. That rhythm encodes how fast you are moving. Simple. If you look at the activity of neurons in the old brain, or even especially in the old brain, these neurons, they not only encode what stimulus is out there, but on top of it, these ensembles of neurons develop a rhythm which is 50 times a second, and that rhythm changes instantaneously. The faster you run, the bigger that rhythm gets.
So these are the neurons responsible for proprioception.
No, that's the other funny thing. These neurons are actually not responsible for proprioception.
Really?
These neurons in the old brain, they are actually encoding where you are in space. That's the biggest mystery. So these neurons are telling you where you are in space, and the faster you move, these neurons' rhythm gets faster and bigger. 50 times a second, the rhythm becomes 60 times a second if you run faster, 100 times a second if you even become faster, and the strength of the rhythm also goes up on the fly. You run within half a second, you change your speed, the rhythm changes.
You slow down,
the rhythm slows down. You speed up, the rhythm speeds up.
I have to ask you a question, but I want to, because we're coming towards the end of the interview. We have about 5 minutes left. What do you want both clinicians and listeners to take away from your research? Because I have a question for you I want to ask you after that.
Yeah. So the first thing one should take away from this is that one should think about whatever are these natural behaviors that we are geared for, one should not stray from it too much because they have profound effect on the brain, let alone on the muscles and so on. What do I mean by natural behavior? Human beings have evolved over a long, long period of time to do two important things. One, we need to sleep. And two, we need to move our bodies when we are awake. We need to run, we need to move around, we need to use our muscles. These things are not just influencing our muscles. They're changing our brain in a profound way.
Right.
Ways that we don't even fully understand, but we are getting a hint of it, that these things, seemingly just moving your muscles, simply walking around, is influencing your memories. Memories about all kinds of things.
Right.
During behavior and during sleep. So it's very important that we don't stray from this too far. We do these two things. Don't take them for granted. It's not just a simple thing. It's a very complex thing. And the second thing is that the brain is a really complex place. And when we feel something cognitively, we cannot simply translate that into this is what my brain did. It's much more complicated than that. And before we jump to some conclusions about, well, my memories got stronger or weaker, so let me do this or that to the brain, not so. The memory trace is a whole different thing than the memory that we talk about itself.
Okay. Now, I have a question for you, and I don't know that you're the right person to pose this question to, but perhaps you are. When we talk about brain activity, we're basically talking about chemical reactions that produce almost electrical-like effects, correct?
Exactly. Brain is very, very rapid succession of electricity and chemistry. Neurons become active. That activity is represented by electricity. That electricity of every neuron lasts 1/1000th of a second. And at the end of that 1/1000th of a second, there is chemistry. Neuron dumps out neurotransmitters,
right,
which are really, really microscopic amounts. And those neurotransmitters immediately turn into electricity in other sets of neurons within another 1/1000th of a second. And this succession is going on all the time, every 1/1000th of a second, across 100 billion neurons, and
right,
you don't feel any of it.
Right.
You feel the world is smooth and so on.
Right. Okay, with that being said, can you really have these types of discussions, we have these types of discussions, on a purely physics basis and ignore the chemistry involved? Obviously, some of these issues could be precipitated by the lack of proper neural chemistry in the brain, like not consolidating memories properly, and so on. Obviously, if a battery is weak, something doesn't work quite often, or things work, the tolerances change and they work improperly. Are you looking at the role of the actual neurochemistry of the brain and its relationship to memory and sleep?
Absolutely, absolutely. That's right. So these, we know, based on a vast amount of research done by people, that this persistent activity, this memory-like activity that comes up in the brain, is actually how much of it occurs is governed by all kinds of chemicals. We know that.
Right.
And these chemicals are crucial. So, of course, so far we only discussed the electrical part of the
right
activity.
Right.
But that cannot exist in isolation, and it does not.
Yeah.
You need all kinds of amazing chemicals. There are so many of them, we can't even begin to talk about them right now. But they are the ones which are making this possible. That paleo brain, if it lingered, how long it lingered will be determined by these chemicals. And not only that, that effect of the paleo brain's activity on the old brain or the new brain will also be determined by not only what chemicals are there, but what is the balance between those chemicals.
And you know,
how much of one or the other is present.
And really, Professor Mehta, I see this, and again, you have to understand, I'm not an educated person. I haven't spent a lot of time in school, and so I look at things, I try to use my critical thinking skills, and what I keep coming back to about this is something that we promote on the show for a very long time now. We promoted ancestral diets, and one of the components of the ancestral diet we're actually going to talk about in the second hour is the ratios of omega-6 to omega-3 fatty acids and their effect on the brain. And the introduction of these fatty acids are well established to have occurred during the Paleolithic era because of our changing our diet. When you look at the Australopithecus gracilis and Australopithecus robustus, one was a purely vegan and one started to eat bones that it would find. It would suck the marrow out, and it was the first one to use tools to pry these bones open. And the introduction of these omega-3 fatty acids, and the only reason why I'm oversimplifying this is because there's this big discussion emerging now about how omega-3 fatty acids actually affect the brain. Forget about cholesterol levels and all this other stuff. And when you tell me that this portion of the brain formed during the paleo era, I can't help but think that there is some crosstalk between these two disciplines that are looking at the brain the way you are and the ones that are looking at the brain from a purely chemical standpoint. So it's very,
yes,
very intriguing.
I mean, I'm, Yeah, this is an interesting. I mean, we do need those omega-3 fatty acids. That's undisputed.
Right.
How exactly it influences neural activity, how much of it is good for you, how much is not, that I'm not qualified to answer.
No, no, of course not. And my next guest actually published this in the journal, the Elsevier. It's on the brain behavior and immunity. And we're going to talk about omega-6 fatty acids, the brain and behavior and immunity right after this interview. Listen, Professor Mehta, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show today. This has been a lively discussion. You're a fantastic guest. I feel like I'm waiting for your lecture tomorrow. I want to show up at your class. Would that be okay?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right, listen, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you very
much. Okay. Great discussion. Really, really great discussion. And now we're going to stay in line with the brain, but you have to listen to some commercials first. We'll be right back.
Put your hands up. Put your hands up. Put your hands up. Put your hands up.
For the first time ever, Need to Build Muscle has introduced a fat burner that is so sophisticated, you'll realize why it took them so long to bring one to market. IntuBurn is here. Through multiple pathways and agents, IntuBurn increases thermogenesis, turns on brown adipose tissue to consume even more energy, modulates blood sugar, while insulin-mimicking agents keep insulin from spiking, stimulates beta-adrenergic activity. Heck, even the coating on the tablet contains cinnamaldehyde, a potent appetite suppressant and insulin regulator. While other fat burners focus on one or two of these pathways, IntuBurn does it all. Go to NeedToBuildMuscle.com today and start shedding fat now.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan 2, Mechanical Growth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Company.
The most popular H-Force patch just got better. The Power Patch is the only transdermal patch with 25 milligrams of real growth hormone. It's now the Power Patch Extreme. Now, when you buy your month's supply of the Power Patch, you'll receive double the patches. That's right, you get 100% more patches. Existing Power Patch user can upgrade to Power Patch Extreme as well. Just go to superhumanradio.com and click the Power Patch Extreme banner ad today. And don't wait too long. This is a limited time offer and will end soon. Over 35% of all men over 20 will struggle with painful chronic prostatitis at some time in their lives. Relaxin is a novel dietary supplement shown in a preliminary retrospect study to be more effective than antibiotics at relieving symptoms of chronic prostatitis. Relaxin is safe and effective for men. If you suffer from prostatitis and don't want to take powerful drugs, antibiotics, or risk procedures, give Relaxin a try. Go to bioadvantex.com to learn more. That's bioadvantex.com. Stop living with embarrassing pain and symptoms associated with chronic prostatitis today. Get Relexin, R-E-L-E-X-I-N.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. The lively discussion will continue into this next interview. Before we get started, I have to mention again, Superhuman Radio has been nominated during the 8th Annual Podcast Awards at podcastawards.com for the Health and fitness section. Please vote. You can vote once a day. Vote for us. I'd just like to end up in the top three. That's all. It'd be a big deal for us because there are a few big budget shows in there as well. And there's a lot of big budget shows throughout the whole thing, every single category. So it would be nice. Okay. Next, we have an opportunity to talk to Professor Martha Baluri. How you doing, Professor Baluri?
Doing well, Carl. How are you?
Good, good. And this is another very important topic. There is so much good information arising from good research about the effects of healthy levels of omega-3s. Obviously, this is a ubiquitous term, healthy levels, what is healthy. But we do know for sure that the current American diet is pretty lopsided in its intake of omega-6s versus omega-3s. So let's talk a little bit about your research. First of all, your research looked at something that we talk about often here as well, and that is telomere length, as far as the immune system goes, right?
That's right.
Okay, so tell us about the design of the study.
This was a three-arm clinical intervention study where we looked at people who were about the age of 50 or older, and we included them in a study where they were either supplemented with a placebo oil or one of two doses of fish oil, either 1.25 grams per day or 2.5 grams per day. And we looked at these levels of fish oil over about a four-month period to see how the fish oil could help people with negative moods such as depression and anxiety and other things, and also the inflammation that's associated with those negative moods. And we look at some blood markers of inflammation in this particular case.
Okay, so for the sake of a clearer understanding, did you use a specific product? Did you use Loveza? Did you use an over-the-counter fish oil, standardized fish oil?
We did actually use a particular product that was donated without any restrictions to our study.
Cool.
So the particular oil was called Omega Bright Oil. It was donated by Omega Bright, again, without any restrictions. They said, use our oil, test it how you want to.
Oh, no, listen. I think it's great.
Let us know what we find. Yes.
I see a lot of tendencies right now in Omega 3 research to use Loveza. And Loveza is an ethylated form of the oil. It is somehow adulterated, for lack of better terms. And I'd rather see research on the average fish oil that somebody can get over the counter.
Right. Right.
So I like that. I appreciate your using that. Okay, mm-hmm. So in the 1.25 or 2.5 gram per day dose, what portion of it was EPA, what portion of it was DHA?
Yeah, so these supplements were actually fairly rich in the fish oil compared to a lot of supplements. So our fish oil had about, I'm trying to remember, for every 3 grams that we gave them, we could reach up to 2.5 grams of fish oil in the full fish oil dose, the high dose, which is not really high when you look at fish oil. It's actually within what's considered generally regarded as safe.
But this is highly concentrated. In other words, what you're saying is the standard fractions of EPA versus DHA would be split by that 2.5 gram portion, in other words.
That's right.
That is pretty concentrated because the average over-the-counter fish oil product in a 1 gram gel cap probably has 181 to like 270 EPA to DHA. I'm sorry, DHA to EPA.
That's right. We had about out of every 500 milligram capsule, to give you an idea, 400 milligrams was EPA plus DHA. And it was about a 7-to-1 ratio of the EPA to DHA. So, yes, about 80% of our oils were fish oils. So it's a highly concentrated form. You can purchase it. Sometimes these forms are called triple strength or ultra concentrated. yeah, that was a hard one.
Yeah, it's okay. You got it out of the way.
But you're raising a really important point that many fish oil supplements are really not giving consumers the bang for the buck.
No. No, and my audience knows that. I would venture to say that a good 30-40% of my listeners take a very, very high quality cod liver oil for both its omega-3 richness as well as its vitamin A and vitamin D, which we talk about on the show all the time, should be taken together. But anyway, okay.
Yep.
So let's look at this. So the research, explain the study. So who got the fish oil and mm-hmm. what markers did you look at?
We basically recruited healthy men and women, 50 50 years of age or older. Generally, the people we were looking to recruit were people who were not on antidepressants or already on a fish oil supplement, as many people already are taking this supplement now.
Yeah.
If they were on a supplement, they had to get off of the supplement for a certain period of time before we could include them into the study.
But that at least eliminates some of the tolerance issues with people who, you know, have to abandon a study early. You know, those people
right.
are going to be fine. You know, they're
yes,
just going to get better with your dose. That's all.
Right. So, well, that's true. But we really wanted to make sure we were testing the effect of the oil and not something else. And so, yeah, you're right. And we did actually in our screening, we made sure that people could tolerate the oil, had any level of depression was accepted as long as they weren't on antidepressant or any anxiety medications.
Okay.
Most of the people, as I said, were all were above the age of 50. In fact, our average age was only 52. So we call it an older person study, but I'm not sure.
Older. Hey. I'm 54.
Hey, I'm there too.
Okay.
I'm there too. So,
okay.
So we had about 138 subjects in the study by the time we could randomize them to one of the three treatment groups. As a double-blinded study, we didn't know what treatments they were assigned to, and the subjects did not know what treatments
right.
they were assigned to. There was a third party that actually did all of the pill allocations.
Did they have to take it all in one dose, or did they take it across the day?
We had them take it any way they wanted to.
Okay.
They did have to take 3 grams of oil a day, so many people chose to split it out over the day. We gave it to them in pill boxes that were assigned to each day, so they could choose to take it however they wanted to.
You know, I have to tell you, I do this show because I get so excited. I was so excited during the last interview. And I'm listening to what you're saying. I'm saying, you know, it's just amazing the magic of omega-3s that so many people are overlooking. And this one area is really something that we see. In fact, there's been a lot of research in other countries on known telomerase activators
mm-hmm.
and their ability to mitigate a lot of the symptoms of the AIDS virus.
Ah, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And so it's like, oh, my God. So, you know, I don't want to stretch it because we have to take a break. I don't want to make a stretch here and go, well, you know, fish oil cures AIDS. But, you know, you can't ignore some of this information and the value of fish oil. You know, fish oil has been shown to shut down inflammation on a genetic level by switching genes on and off. I mean, you're talking about really, in my humble opinion, something that should be in everybody's diet today because we are so overloaded with omega-6s. And it gets out of whack. I'm not saying that pro-inflammatory oils don't have a place. We need arachidonic acid. We need some inflammation. But this chronic inflammation can be shut down
with
fish oils.
And we think that the effect of fish oil is beyond changing the induced inflammation that you're talking about from arachidonic acid. But it could be important in resolving the normal state after the inflammation. So we all need that inflammatory process for many
right.
important things that we deal with on a day-to-day basis. Our bodies are insulted with, you know, you cut yourself and lots of cells have to flow into that area to help heal the cut, and inflammation is part of that. And then the resolution of the inflammation might be also how fish oils and the components of fish oils work to influence inflammation.
Which would put them heads and shoulders above anti-inflammatory products because, you know, I've said this mm-hmm. often, an anti-inflammatory product is like this. You're in a building and the fire alarm goes off and a guy walks in casually and says, no, sit down. And he just smashes the fire alarm and goes, there, see, the emergency's gone. You can't hear anything. You shut down inflammation. You're shutting down downstream processes that are important to the healing process.
And if this
has the ability to speed the resolving, it means that you recover faster. What's better than recovering faster? Okay, we have to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to pick it up. We're talking with Professor Martha Baluri from Ohio State University in lovely Columbus, Ohio. And we're going to be talking more about the importance of omega-3s when we come back. Stay tuned. The
cornerstone of longevity medicine is preserving or improving telomere length by increasing telomerase. Telomeres are the repair kit for your DNA. Maintaining DNA integrity is an important factor in staying young and disease-free. If you're like me, a telomerase activator isn't optional, it's a necessity. The only clinically proven telomerase activator in the world is TA65. That's why I take TA65 every day, and you should too. You can learn more about TA65 by visiting TASciences.com. That's TASciences.com.
True Protein is now TrueNutrition.com. The company that gave you personalized protein blends has now expanded their offerings to include over 5,000 new products. Whether your interests are health and fitness, sports nutrition and supplements, or fitness gear and accessories, you'll find what you're looking for at TrueNutrition.com. Check out the new vegetarian and vegan product lines as well. Oh, and don't worry, you can still blend your own personal protein supplements with a full range of milk, whey, casein, beef, egg, rice, and soy proteins. Check out TrueNutrition.com today. Over 35% of all men over 20 will struggle with painful chronic prostatitis at some time in their lives. Relaxin is a novel dietary supplement shown in a preliminary retrospect study to be more effective than antibiotics at relieving symptoms of chronic prostatitis. Relaxin is safe and effective for men. If you suffer from prostatitis and don't want to take powerful drugs, antibiotics, or risk procedures, give Relaxin a try. Go to bioadvantex.com to learn more. That's bioadvantex.com. Stop living with embarrassing pain and symptoms associated with chronic prostatitis today. Get Relexin, R-E-L-E-X-I-N. The most popular age-force patch just got better. The Power Patch is the only transdermal patch with 25 milligrams of real growth hormone. It's now the Power Patch Extreme. Now, when you buy your month's supply of the Power Patch, you'll receive double the patches. That's right, you get 100% more patches. Existing Power Patch user can upgrade to Power Patch Extreme as well. Just go to SuperHumanRadio.com and click the Power Patch Extreme banner ad today. And don't wait too long. This is a limited time offer and will end soon. People who are looking for performance and health benefits turn to WayNaturalUSA.com. WayNaturalUSA produces the only whey protein from Amish grass-fed cows raised right here in the USA. You cannot get the same quality whey protein anywhere else, period. WayNaturalUSA is cold-processed through the patented Chill-Rite process, so all of the undenatured fractions of whey stay intact. There's only three ingredients in WayNaturalUSA: grass-fed whey protein concentrate, organic flavor, and stevia. Nothing else. Go to WayNaturalUSA.com today and find out what you've been missing. WHEYNaturalUSA.com.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. A standing, friendly workplace. Stand up right now. You're sitting at your desk. What did we talk about last week? The more you sit, the faster you die. Stand up. If your boss says, why are you standing? Explain it to him or her, and maybe you'll get a raise. Welcome back. Welcome back. Okay, so we're talking with Professor Martha Baluri from Ohio State University. We're talking about omega-3 fatty acids and how they affect. Well, right now we're talking about a little bit about inflammation. But getting back on to the subject at hand, You looked specifically at white blood cell. Is that correct?
We did. We looked at telomere length and telomerase activity in collaboration with the laboratory out in California to determine whether fish oil could affect the telomere length or telomerase activity.
Okay, so why the white blood cell? What does it contribute to the discussion that it was worth looking just at that?
Well, we were interested in inflammation, and one of the drivers of inflammation is your white blood cells in terms of what products white blood cells make and release into the blood and how white blood cells work with your immune system under an inflammatory kind of response. And so leukocytes seem to be a natural kind of cell we would want to link to look at this inflammation and telomere length kind of connection.
And one of the main culprits is cytokines, correct?
That's right. Cytokines generally are associated with being markers of inflammation. And as we were just talking about, those are inducible, meaning they can be increased very quickly, and then they come down, hopefully in a normal state, as your body doesn't need the inflammation anymore to heal a wound or to deal with a stressor.
Now, you did baseline analysis of the telomere length on these individuals, and then you did follow-up evaluations, correct?
That's right. We worked with Elizabeth Blackburn's group out at the University of California, San Francisco, and she actually did the measurements in the leukocytes, where they looked at leukocytes that were collected from the subjects before they went on to the supplements and then 4 months after they had been on the supplements.
Now, isn't 4 months a short period of time? I mean, look, I'm already sold on the telomere length, the importance of it. I'm not sold that it extends life, but I know that it's an important component to pay attention to. The science is unfolding, blah, blah, blah. I mean, I take a telomerase activator myself. My audience knows about it. But with that being said, what exactly, is 4 months really long enough for telomere length to be affected?
Well, you're asking a really good question. We didn't know. Our primary endpoint was to really look at how omega-3s could help with older people who are dealing with various aspects of negative mood, stress, depression, anxiety, et cetera, and then also their responses to that stress with inflammation. This study where we looked at telomere length and telomerase activity was a secondary analysis.
Ah.
We did suspect that the time length might be too short. And that's why what we found, I think, was even more exciting.
Okay.
Was that we did find an association with the fatty acids, the omega-3 fatty acids in their blood, and an extended telomere length.
Now, so when you checked 4 months later, was the telomere actually longer, or did it just not erode as much as you had expected it to?
Well, we controlled for baseline telomere length as part of what we wanted to look at. So we were looking at the differences in telomere length from time zero to time 4 months. And what we found was that there were longer telomere lengths in people who had a higher amount of omega-3s in their blood. Not that they had grown, but that the lengths were longer once we controlled for baseline. So it's not exactly addressing your question.
I see.
But that's what we actually measured.
Yeah, okay. And that would make sense to me.
Mm-hmm. Because we know that telomere lengths become shorter and shorter as we age.
Yes, because of oxidative stress. I mean, it's clearly linked to oxidative stress.
Well, right, and also that each time your cell divides itself, any cell in your body, and the DNA has to replicate, part of the telomere is actually removed. And so we know telomerase enzyme can add back some of those base nucleotides that are being removed, but it can't add back all of them.
And for those people who are new to this telomere length thing, there's evidence that the telomere actually acts as a toolbox, if you will, donating material to your DNA. Every time it replicates, it gets, let's say, a little fuzzy. It gets a little jagged edges, so it fills in those jagged edges with what it gets from the telomere. And so obviously the more frequently it replicates, the shorter they get. And then once they get so short, the helical strand starts to unwind, and you have these mutant replications of your DNA. And a lot of people think that this leads to diseases and so on, but clearly it does lead to cellular senescence. It leads to then an early death of that cell, and it doesn't come back anymore, doesn't replicate anymore. So with that being said, this is an important discussion. Now, was there a direct increase in telomerase in the presence of higher omega-3 fatty acids?
We could not detect a significant increase in telomerase activity, and we don't know if that's because of the doses we've used, the length of time for the duration of the intervention with the fish oils, or if it's just simply not about telomerase activity. We just don't know the answer to that yet.
And that's always it. I mean, just mm-hmm. like when they discovered astragalus' effect on increasing telomerase, they immediately thought it was the astragalicides. And so companies went and isolated the astragalicides. And now we come to find out that there are some other components in the astragalus root that actually also increase telomerase independently. And so it always comes down to there's more to it than meets the eye, and it takes a long time, decades, to really get to any meaningful answers. But the one thing that we can take away is, that we know, is that omega-3 fatty acids are good for you, and obviously have the ability to halt one of the components that causes the shortening of telomeres. Now, how did this affect the immune system overall?
What we had found in our first analysis, which was published just last year, was that the intervention with fish oils was actually able to reduce some of the markers of inflammation. So we looked at interleukin-6, which is a cytokine that is a marker of inflammation, as well as TNF-alpha. And both of those levels were reduced in the people who were on the omega-3 supplements. It didn't seem to be a dose response. Even the lower dose of omega-3, which was 1.25 grams per day, seemed to have a beneficial effect to reduce those markers of inflammation. And we also did look at oxidative stress. As you said, clearly there seems to be an association with oxidative stress and telomerase, lowering of telomerase and shortening of telomeres. And we did see that supplementation lowered one very good marker of oxidative stress, which was the F2 isoprostane chemical or compound that we measured.
You know, we understand now that antioxidants seem to have a dependency on other antioxidants.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's the discussion of E recycled CoQ10 and C, E also recycles C, and then, you know, you have all of these different antioxidants that seem to play a role. It's kind of a relay race of getting rid of metabolic waste, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Does it appear that omega-3s work through a totally different pathway where they don't need to work in conjunction with other antioxidants? Or do you even have any of that information from your research?
We didn't measure antioxidant levels in our subjects, and that's a very good question that should be addressed, because we know that antioxidants are important to stabilize the omega-3 fatty acids that we were testing. The long-chain EPA and DHA really need around them, like a package, they need antioxidants to keep those double bonds there so that the double bonds don't oxidize. We did not measure whether these people were sufficient or had a lot of different antioxidants in their blood.
Okay. Now, the other objective of the study was to look at its effect on mood and some other markers of the brain, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So what did you find? What did you find in the groups across the board as far as a sense of well-being? Was there any evidence of that?
Well, the good news for our cohort, when we unblinded them and actually looked at their levels of depression, is most people were not depressed. We didn't know that we were recruiting people who were basically pretty happy, but only 16 of our 138 subjects, so that's 12% of our subjects, actually would have been diagnosed clinically with having depression using the scales that we used. And these are very validated scales. And so we were not testing, we didn't know that, but we were trying to test the effects of omega-3s on negative mood, but we didn't have a lot of people with a lot of negative mood, a lot of depression or anxiety.
Well, next time you want to do one of these research studies, Professor Baluri, just stand outside of Dr. Zhivago, the movie, and you'll find all the depressed people that you want. And because anybody who would go and pay for that movie is clearly very, very depressed.
Yeah.
So since you didn't really have a large cohort to look at, what was the results on the 16? Well, the 12%.
We couldn't see an effect, but we believe it's because there were not enough people to see the effect.
Yeah.
So we did not see a change in their depression just on the 16, but we needed more people to see such an effect. People have a pretty big variability in terms of how they respond to diet in general. And that's true also with omega-3 fatty acids, omega-6 fatty acids, or whatever part of the diet you want to try to tease out. And we just couldn't see an effect on the 16 people that were depressed, because there were about 6 to 7 people with those levels of depression in each of our three groups.
Right. Okay, let's do this. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to pick up the discussion. We're talking with Professor Martha Baluri from Ohio State University, wonderful school just north of me in beautiful Columbus, Ohio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Over
35% of all men over 20 will struggle with painful chronic prostatitis at some time in their lives. Relaxin is a novel dietary supplement shown in a preliminary retrospect study to be more effective than antibiotics at relieving symptoms of chronic prostatitis. Relaxin is safe and effective for men. If you suffer from prostatitis and don't want to take powerful drugs, antibiotics, or risk procedures, give Relaxin a try. Go to bioadvantex.com to learn more. That's bioadvantex.com. Stop living with embarrassing pain and symptoms associated with chronic prostatitis today. Get Relaxin, R-E-L-E-X-I-N.
No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan 2, Mechanical Growth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies.
I have never endorsed a training guide before The Blueprint by Rob Regish. The Blueprint combines the best techniques for building muscle and gaining strength with the best tips on supplementation and nutrition. Everyone who has used The Blueprint has surpassed their expectations in muscular gains in record time. You'll learn how to break through any plateau, how to make gains from every single workout, and all for the price of a single supplement purchase. Get your copy of The Blueprint today by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Blueprint banner ad. Order today and get copies of both The Blueprint 2.0 and 3.0, plus ongoing support on The Blueprint Forum to ensure your success.
The cornerstone of longevity medicine is preserving or improving telomere length by increasing telomerase. Telomeres are the repair kit for your DNA. Maintaining DNA integrity is an important factor in staying young and disease-free. If you're like me, a telomerase activator isn't optional, it's a necessity. The only clinically proven telomerase activator in the world is TA65. That's why I take TA65 every day, and you should too. You can learn more about TA65 by visiting TASciences.com. That's TASciences.com.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for, and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Age Force is offering their Power Patch Extreme. Power Patch is the only transdermal patch with 25 milligrams of real growth hormone in it. Now you get double the number of patches when you sign up for Power Patch Extreme. Go to ageforce.com today or go to superhumanradio.com. I'm sorry. This offer is only available through the website, by the way. I just slipped up. You got to go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force banner ad. The offer is only good till Wednesday night, Eastern time. So take advantage of it. Even if you've already bought Power Patch, you can now get twice as many. So check it out. Go to ageforce.com or go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad. There you go. Okay. Obviously, my working memory isn't working very well today. We are talking this hour with Professor Martha Baluri from Ohio State, and we're talking about omega-3 fatty acids. Okay, so getting back to this particular research, what was seen? Was there anything that would be considered significant observed in these individuals as far as brain function goes when taking the omega-3s?
unfortunately, we didn't measure things other than negative mood-associated conditions.
Yeah.
We didn't look at memory or some of those, I guess, functions of brain that have been shown by some other groups to be affected in a good way by omega-3 fatty acids. We just were really focused on the negative mood affect and the ties to physical inflammation.
Yeah, and obviously that doesn't make the research on telomere length any less exciting. You know, that really is something significant to see when using omega-3 fatty acids.
We believe so, too. I think it's probably one of the first studies to really show an association of a diet intervention with really a phenomenal effect such as telomere length in the leukocytes, which is, we think, some of the novelty of the findings.
You know, it's funny. A little while ago, we were talking to Professor Mayank Mehta, and he is he's at UCLA, and they did some research looking at memory consolidation. This whole discussion, the discussion took a turn because he started referring to this very important portion of the brain as the paleo brain, the portion of the brain that formed during the Paleolithic era process of evolution. And, you know, we've been talking about on the show ad infinitum that the Paleolithic human beings consumed a great deal more omega-3s to omega-6s than we do today. And ironically, Professor Mehta mentioned that many of today's neurological disorders affect the portion of the brain called the paleo brain. And then you look at the amount of, bad fats people consume. You know, we've had Dr. Hiblin on the show. We've had so many different people. Do you know who Dr. Joe Hiblin is?
I've met Dr. Hiblin.
Great guy. I mean,
yeah.
The discussion about omega-3s and mood, I want to say, I can't think of her name, Susan Kleinert. She's been on the show before, Kleiner. She started out writing Power Eating, ended up doing the Good Mood Diet, talking about the importance of omega-3s and healthy fats. And we see we're awash with unhealthy fats. And ironically, there's this whole change going on in our brain right now because it's starving for omega-3s. And then you do a study like this, And go, wow, look at this. It can actually keep telomeres intact longer.
We believe it can. And I think it's interesting what you brought up about the healthy fats versus unhealthy fats. I classify omega-6s as another group of healthy fats. So
yes.
I am actually not in the scientific camp with some researchers who do think that we need to lower our omega-6s. I do believe there are unhealthy fats, and I call those saturated fats. Many of which not only increase inflammation, but seem to increase belly fat, heart disease risk,
but see,
cancer risk,
type 2 diabetes.
It's pretty clear in the literature that particular group of fats has way more problems in the United States diet right now than it did. Again, people in the era that you're talking about, the Paleolithic era, weren't consuming a lot of coconut oil. They weren't getting coconut oil shipped up to the North Americas. They were eating very good vegetable oils that were rich in omega-3s,
yeah, but see,
as well as fish oils.
I have to respectfully interject here that we know that those humans were eating healthy animal fats from animals that ate a natural diet and had healthy fats on their carcasses.
Right. Do you know what those healthy fats were?
Yeah, they were mostly omega-3s, some CLA. There was omega-6s in there as well. That's what
right.
But there's saturated fat. See, here's my point.
The saturated fat in animal foods is actually not the one that is called stearic acid. That is not heart disease causing.
Yes.
The saturated fats that I'm talking about are 16 carbons or less.
Right.
They positively lead to bigger belly fat, and it's not just in people, it's in mouse experiments. Any strain of animal that you look at will increase in belly fat, inflammation. If they're going to get heart disease, they'll get it. Type 2 diabetes, insulin resistance, a whole plethora of things that we know leads to chronic disease.
And that's why I said, you know, omega-3.
Totally for animal-derived foods.
There you go.
Because actually one-third of fats in animal, whether it's milk or beef or chicken, one-third of it is monounsaturated oleic acid, another third is polyunsaturated, and then one-third is saturated, and it's that stearic acid which is not harmful in every study that's been done in humans, it's not been.
I'm with you,
harmful.
and that's why it has to be qualified. See, this is what happens. We have to get this information out there, and then all of a sudden it becomes, well, saturated fat is the enemy. And we went through that cycle.
Yeah.
We know that doesn't work. We've already went through that since the 70s.
And high-fat diets, you remember the whole thing about lowering your total fat?
Yeah.
Well, actually, we know there are many healthy fats. Omega-3s are definitely needed more in the United States diet. It is not a doubt in my mind looking at the evidence. It's just clear, not just from our studies, but from hundreds of really good studies in heart disease prevention, triglyceride lowering. I mean, it really works, and we don't get enough of them.
And everybody's afraid of animal fats today. But then again, they should. But I got to say something. They should be afraid of animal fats. If you're going and buying CAFO raised beef, conventionally raised beef, the diets cause that animal to produce and store a different type of fat on their body than a grass-fed cow, a ruminant animal that's allowed to live the way it's supposed to and just eat grass and alfalfa. So those fats I am not endorsing. And that's why the discussion becomes even more important about specifics, because whenever they do research on animal fats, they do research from these CAFO-raised, antibiotic-laden, you know, cows that I don't – that's not food to me. I don't know why – you know, that's like, don't even look at that.
Right.
Even when they do – research on dairy. I'm proud to tell you that up until about a week or so ago, I drank a gallon of raw unpasteurized cream a week, and I'm very lean. I mean, I'm a huge proponent of raw milk. Most of my audience is drinking raw milk now. They understand that, it's good for you. And so this is where the rubber meets the road. It's not enough just to do this research, but you now have to qualify that these animals were raised in a way where they were fed a natural diet that they were supposed to be fed, because that changes. That's a game changer. When they eat something bad, we eat something bad. So,
well, and I think we need to look at our whole food supply now in terms of processed baked things that really are, they're tasty, they're easy, they have lots of shorter chain saturated fatty acids that we've either processed from being an unsaturated oil, or we've bought from our people down south who grow palm trees and coconut trees and have all these nice saturated fats, but are not rich in that stearic acid saturated fat. They're rich in shorter chain fatty acids like palmitic acid and even shorter ones that we know really clearly lead to a lot of the chronic diseases that we're seeing in our population now.
Okay. And that's why the discussion has to be very specific. We can't,
we
don't want to throw the baby out with the bad water, because a lot of times you do that. You say, oh, omega-6s are bad. No, omega-6s are not bad. They play a critical and very important role in the process. Omega-3s are good too. And saturated fat, some saturated fats are good and some saturated fats are bad. They're
all different. One thing that vegetable oils really give people in the United States that we were talking about before is they're very rich in antioxidants. And that might be why they're so important. It might not be about their fatty acid content as much as the package, the whole package of vegetable oils, whether it's something that's rich in alpha-linolenic acid and 18-carbon omega-3 fatty acid or linoleic acid. That might not be the big point. And scientists are trying to figure this out, including
laboratory. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, but they're rich in tocopherols and tocotrienols and all these other very good antioxidants that are important for the packaging of the fatty acids, of the polyunsaturated fatty acids that we know are beneficial for heart health, lowering inflammation or resolving inflammation, and having these other things that we're looking at.
So you are you're in complete disagreement with the notion that linoleic acid is a bad thing because of its upstream conversion to arachidonic acid and stimulation of the cannabinoid receptor, which is Dr. Hiblin's
thing. We know in a cell culture model that linoleic acid can get converted to arachidonic acid. We can do it in a test tube very easily. What we also know is that people and animals don't do it unless they need it, and they only need it when they don't have enough arachidonic acid, which is never. And so people convert less than 5% of their linoleic acid to arachidonic acid. The more linoleic acid you eat, the less you convert to arachidonic acid. So not one study in the literature, and actually Dr. Hibbins is included, has shown that higher amounts of omega-6 fatty acids in the form of linoleic acid-rich oils, none of those will actually promote inflammation. It's very, very clear in the literature. And
well,
it's not something that I care to be professing, because I know it's against the dogma of what people want to, again, simplify, but it's not that simple. We don't make a lot of arachidonic acid from linoleic acid. The only time your body makes it is if it needs it for inflammation, and there's plenty of arachidonic acid there already.
Yeah. Okay. And no, and you know what? And that's why we have no agenda on this show.
Uh-huh.
I'm in search of the truth just like everybody else. I mean, I think that what always seems to prevail when we talk about science is that it's always unfolding. And what we thought was right yesterday, we think is wrong today, but we may think it's right again tomorrow. And there are also things that we don't even know about yet that can't even weigh into to the decision making process. So no, I'm with you on this. I don't think that any of these fats are bad except the ones that man has tampered with for processed food. So and actually more so to increase shelf life. Because the good fats go bad faster.
That's right.
That's a sign that it's a good fat, by the way.
that's a very good point.
Yeah. So anyway, all right, let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we'll pick it up. We're talking with Professor Martha Valori from Ohio State University about the effect on telomerase, and white blood cells promoted by getting adequate amounts of omega-3 fatty acids. Maybe we'll talk about what adequate amounts are. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
The most popular H-Force patch just got better. The Power Patch is the only transdermal patch with 25 milligrams of real growth hormone. It's now the Power Patch Extreme. Now, when you buy your month supply of the Power Patch, you'll receive double the patches. That's right. You get 100% more patches. Existing Power Patch user can upgrade to Power Patch Extreme as well. Just go to superhumanradio.com and click the Power Patch Extreme banner ad today. And don't wait too long. This is a limited time offer and will end soon.
I have never endorsed a training guide before The Blueprint by Rob Regish. The Blueprint combines the best techniques for building muscle and gaining strength with the best tips on supplementation and nutrition. Everyone who has used The Blueprint has surpassed their expectations in muscular gains in record time. You'll learn how to break through any plateau, how to make gains from every single workout, and all for the price of a single supplement purchase. Get your copy of The Blueprint today by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Blueprint banner ad. Order today and get copies of both The Blueprint 2.0 and 3.0, plus ongoing support on the Blueprint forum to ensure your success.
People who are looking for performance and health benefits turn to WayNaturalUSA.com. WayNaturalUSA produces the only whey protein from Amish grass-fed cows raised right here in the USA. You cannot get the same quality whey protein anywhere else, period. WayNaturalUSA is cold processed through the patented Chill-Rite process, so all of the undenatured fractions of whey stay intact. There's only 3 ingredients in WayNaturalUSA: grass-fed whey protein concentrate, organic flavor, and stevia. Nothing else. Go to WayNaturalUSA.com today and find out what you've been missing. WHEYNaturalUSA.com.
For the first time ever, Need to Build Muscle has introduced a fat burner that is so sophisticated, you'll realize why it took them so long to bring one to market. IntuBurn is here. Through multiple pathways and agents, IntuBurn increases thermogenesis, turns on brown adipose tissue to consume even more energy, modulates blood sugar, while insulin-mimicking agents keep insulin from spiking, stimulates beta-adrenergic activity. Heck, even the coating on the tablet contains cinnamaldehyde, a potent appetite suppressant and insulin regulator. While other fat burners focus on one or two of these pathways, IntuBurn does it all. Go to NeedToBuildMuscle.com today and start shedding fat now.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, leads.
Jumping higher, left and more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Professor Martha Baluri from Ohio State University about omega-3 fatty acids, their effect on oxidative stress, and that effect on telomere length of white blood cells. So what's the most important thing you think that people need to take away from this research, both clinicians and, you know, the average listener who's listening to this?
I think it really addresses what you brought up in the beginning, which is most people probably are not getting enough omega-3 fatty acids in their diet to really help either attenuate the inflammatory response, meaning lowering the response that you have, not to get rid of it, but to keep it in check where your body can then resolve it in a way that's going to help the body move forward through the stress response, whatever it is, whether it's a physical stress or a mental stress and what we were trying to test, and to help with chronic disease prevention. And so we used pretty low doses of intervention. We used 1.25 or 2.5 grams per day. And again, either dose seemed to have a similar effect, so we didn't see a dose response. But with 1.25, we could see the same effect as with the 2.5, and that was that telomeres were indeed longer compared to those who were on the placebo, who had a shorter telomere length by the end of the four-month trial.
That's scary, that in just 4 months they had a shorter telomere. That's really scary.
It is, and the way it was measured by one of the world's best
I was going to ask you, there's a couple ways to measure telomeres now, right? I mean, there's like one that's emerging as the best way to do it.
And this was measured by one of the people who have won major awards in science for how she measures telomeres. This is Elizabeth Blackburn and Alyssa Apple, who are co-authors on the paper with us. They measured the telomere length and telomerase activity and are very well known for this in the field. And clearly they could find a difference in the length.
That's exciting stuff.
Mm-hmm. It is.
You know, so with respect to telomeres, obviously people listening to the show are going to hear this and think, okay, if I'm not taking omega-3s, I need to up my fish. Start taking fish oils. If I'm taking it, I'm going to take more. Because clearly in the dose that was used in the study, yeah, there wasn't a big difference, but that's not a very big dose. What if I took 3 and 4 times that amount? Aside from the potential of bleeding out, maybe I'll see some benefits. Maybe I'll see, you know, some real benefits. Telomere is getting longer. Is that the next study, or is that out of your hands since you were looking for brain effects and you went off in this whole different area here?
Right. I think that the next studies for us would not be to look at higher doses, because we want something that's achievable and affordable for most people to take.
Mm-hmm.
And higher, as you just pointed out, is not necessarily better for most supplements. That's true for most. Unfortunately, for a lot of supplements, we don't know the optimal dose. But from our studies in this group of people who were very, you know, pretty healthy in most ways. They were overweight generally. They did, and we tried to control for being overweight in part of our analyses. We do know that being overweight can lead to more inflammation.
Yes.
And more occurrence of chronic illnesses. So, but in these people who are generally pretty healthy, older adults, older than younger, I guess, as you and I agree.
Yes.
That we could find a moderate dose could have this effect. I think the next studies will be to look at longer durations and really see if we can understand how the telomere length was affected, like what mechanism was the omega-3 fatty acid able to really attack to keep the telomeres longer. And I think that's one of the studies we'd like to do. And we'd like to do that in people who probably show more of a variability in their negative moods, so that people who have more negative mood affect, we would predict to have more signs of inflammation.
Yes.
More, we know that we see more signs of chronic illness in these people, and that if we can really affect their negative moods, perhaps we can affect the inflammation and the telomere length to hopefully have an extension on their quality of life.
So you know, I remember like back in 2007 doing a show where omega-3 fatty acids in the form of fish oil outperformed some very popular SSRI at that point in time in mitigating the symptoms of major depression.
Interesting.
And
yeah.
And I want to say it was Zoloft that it was compared to. And, you know, this notion that
People, and I think we just talked about this a couple weeks ago, that, you know, adding omega-3s doesn't necessarily make everybody feel better. It just makes people who are deficient in them feel better.
That is true. And in fact, we also raised that point in our discussion that, you know, it might be that we needed to have more depressed people to see the effects on depression and anxiety.
Follow my advice. Go find a Dr. Zhivago movie and just catch them like flies in a big on a fly paper and just drag them back to the lab, and there'll be great depressed people there for sure. Okay, so really a couple grams, but again, this product, plug that product again. Let's give them a little, what was the name of the product? Something Bright?
The name of the product that we used was, again, about 80% of the oil in the supplement was either EPA plus DHA. And the name of the product is Omega Bright. It is actually marketed for its effects on negative mood. We were testing whether it really worked, and again, we didn't have enough negative mood affect in our study to see the effects, we believe. But we still saw these other beneficial effects.
Yeah.
And it's a very nice concentrated source of omega-3 fatty acids, long-chain omega-3s, the EPA and the DHA.
It'd be nice to find out if it was really telomerase activity that caused the...
It would definitely be nice to know that, or what else was actually able to really...
Yeah, it would be nice if it was a different pathway, because then I can take it and say, well, it's working... Mm-hmm. In concert with my telomerase activators that I do, that I do take for this purpose. One last thing before we end the interview, Professor Bellory, I'm sorry. You said you don't like coconut oil, or do you not like coconut oil, or is just this the American way? We find something and then we abuse it until it's no good for us anymore. Mm. Isn't there a place for coconut oil in the diet?
There's a place for coconut oil, and let me tell you why. It is not rich in trans fatty acids, and so actually some of our baked products that we might buy at the store will have more coconut oil than they did 5 years ago.
Right.
And I think that's a very good response of the food industry to the knowledge that nutrition researchers discovered about 10 years ago, which suggested these trans fats are really bad for us.
Right.
We don't process them right. Our bodies don't know what to do with them. What we do with them is not good. And so the food industry responded in the correct way. They're very helpful for doing a lot of the important things we need in baked products. If you want a good kind of texture for a pie crust or some kinds of baked things, you really need a saturated fat. Palm oil has a lot of 12-carbon and 14-carbon fatty acids. We actually don't know how harmful they can be, to what extent, but we do believe too much can be a bad thing.
Right.
But we do know that the worst saturated fatty acid that really seems to be out right now is the 16-carbon palmitic acid.
Yes.
And that one really seems to be most closely associated with these responses to insulin resistance and other kinds of things that are associated with inflammation, and then heart disease, diabetes, et cetera. And I'm not paid to say that by anybody, because, you know, palmitic acid is everywhere. It's not just in palm oil. It's in all sorts of saturated fat sources.
Right.
But that seems to be the one that might be more harmful. Now, I do think that coconut oil is being probably over-marketed.
Yes.
I don't see a lot of benefit of it. I don't know about this coconut water. Several people have asked
about
it.
But that doesn't have any coconut oil in it.
No, it doesn't. It's a byproduct of processing the coconut for the oil, and so now coconut growers are going to sell you the water because it's there and it, you know, has a different taste, and it might be healthy. Who knows?
I personally use coconut oil in this fashion. I have I get raw... minimally processed virgin coconut oil from the Philippines. It's beautiful coconut oil. It has a very, very mild to neutral flavor and scent to it. And it looks like snow. It's beautiful. All the pulp is filtered out of it. And I take that and I mix it with cocoa powder. And I'm using that now in the morning instead of a first morning cup of coffee. I find that it wakes me up. Both the cocoa powder and the mild amounts of caffeine and theanine and the other components of the cacao, but more importantly, on an empty stomach, coconut oil seems to have an ability to kind of invigorate the brain, I've found.
Hmm.
In fact, I can't eat coconut oil before bed, or I have a hard time falling asleep. Now, I don't know if this is just me and I'm sensitive to it or what. But I like a little coconut oil, and I do use a coconut oil spray when I'm sauteing something instead of deluging it with olive oil or something like that.
That sounds delicious.
Yeah, but I mean I do turn. But I'm a big believer of this, that natural fats have a place in our diet. But like everything, discovering what that place is unique to each person's tolerability and hopefully beneficial effects from it. And you have to kind of learn it yourself. But more importantly, you know, Dr. Paul Dudley White in the 1930s, he was one of the founders of the American Heart Association. He was the man who brought the EKG to the United States. He was decrying then what made Procter & Gamble, you know, famous at the time, Crisco. It was the first hydrogenated oil. And he said, abandon these new hydrogenated oils, return to raw animal fats and tallow, abandon the obsession with vegetable oils, return to, you know, creams and butters and so on, because he said that in conjunction with a rising intake in sugar, which back then it was laughable what they thought was rising, is the reason for all of the cardiovascular disease that he was seeing then. Because prior to the late 1800s, myocardial infarction was a rare thing. In fact, he said he encountered one in all his time in school, in residency, in private practice, all the way up until the 30s, when all of a sudden people were dying of heart attacks regularly. And so, you know, I come back to this thing. We have to return to a diet that is rich in foods that have been produced in the way they were supposed to be produced and had been produced hundreds of years ago. It does, you know, and for me, it doesn't take a lot of research. I just know that's the right way. We wouldn't have gotten to this point, in our evolutionary process if the people before us 100, 200 years ago weren't eating the right things. You know, so I'm actually one of the people who feels that marketing is causing us to eat foods that we shouldn't be eating, and we've lost our instinct on what's good because we've been so far removed from it.
I think that sounds like a very sound way to go.
Yeah. All right, listen, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today. Great discussion. Thank
My
you so
pleasure,
much.
Carl.
Okay,
thank
take
you.
Care.
Bye-bye.
We also want to thank Professor Mehta from UCLA about brain function during sleep. Don't forget to vote for Superhuman Radio at podcastawards.com. We'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.